So verse number 3. Kshetrajna chapi mam vidhi. Sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam. Yatajnanam matam mama. Kshetrajna chapi mam vidhi. Sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam. Yatajnanam matam mama. O Bharata. He is calling Arjuna as Bharata. Bharat is considered the one who's in the pursuit of knowledge. So that person is called Bharata. And here Arjuna is asking all the questions. So he's calling him as O Bharata. O Bharata. Prior to that, he gave an inflated feeling to Arjuna that this body is the field and the knower is the consciousness. And here he's going to blow that inflated feeling. He's saying that I am the one in sarva kshetreshu, in all the fields, kshetrajna chapi mam vidhi. I am the one who's the knower in all the fields, not only in you. I am the knower in all the fields of all the animals, birds, insects, human beings. It is me, but nobody else. Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam yatak jnanam matam mama. Now he is saying this is my mat. This is my view. That yatak jnanam, that knowledge is attained by somebody who knows the distinction between the field and the knower of the field. So, O Bharata, I am the one who is a knower in all the fields, and the one who knows this distinction between the field and the knower of the field is going to gain the liberation or the true knowledge. Now let's look here. Now here Bhagwan has said in implied terms, Tattvamasi. Not only in you, in all the known fields of the birds, animals, whatever exists out there, I am the absolute consciousness in all of them. There is nothing else but just me. This is where your Bhagwan is saying that you are. There is no difference between the jiva and the consciousness. As we saw before, jiva is nothing but the conditioned consciousness. So once we take the conditioning, which are nothing but our names, forms, attributes, away from the consciousness, what remains is the consciousness. So nothing actually belongs to the jiva. It is nothing but the consciousness only and only, through and through. So there is nothing left. It's only consciousness. It's a huge statement here. And this is where he is saying, and Anilji has said last time, A plus B minus B is equal to A, which is actually what it means is Kshetrajna, which is the perceiver, feeler, thinker. Minus, this is A. PFT is A. Perceiver, feeler, thinker is a Kshetrajna. This is a reflected consciousness. Minus B, which is body, mass, intellect, and objects, emotions, thought. So A minus B, which is OET plus BMI, equal to absolute consciousness. In Gurudev's words, once somebody knows that, rest of 13th chapter is a bluff. That's it. Nothing else remains. There's nothing else left to say after this. The reflected consciousness, the jiva, once that is separated from the absolute consciousness, what remains is the absolute consciousness. So nothing actually belongs to the jiva. So if there is only absolute consciousness, where is the question of transmigration, births and deaths? So once this is understood, then it leads to atyantik dukh nivratti, or elimination of the sorrows, elimination of all the problems that we have, that we think that we have a problem, which are going to be there anyway. In the relative field, in the empirical field, they will be there. They are going to, we can go and hide in a room, they will find us, come and find us. But once we have this knowledge, this will tell us that all of this is not for me. It all belongs to the conditioning. And this is what the idea is. Once we know this, this is the objective of the scriptures. This is the objective of the teaching, that this is what we are supposed to know. And this is what is going to lead to liberation. This is the actual purport of the teaching. To tell this jiva that there is nothing of your own. It's all absolute consciousness. But then there are some questions here. So I'm going to say, okay, but I'm going through all this. I have my own turbulences in my mind. I have problems with my work, business. So if you say that I am you, or I am consciousness, I have all this samsara. I have all these things to take care of. I have a family to take care of. I have a business to run. I have a job. I have to earn money. I have to do this and that. And then if I am you, this is my samsara. And if you are me, then you also become a samsari. How do we explain that? And the second thing is, if there is nothing but just the consciousness, then why not? When one person gains realization, why not everybody gains realization? When somebody gets the knowledge, and if there is nothing but just consciousness, then why not all the jivas get the consciousness? Why is not everybody happy at the same time? So the answer, he goes back again to the standard example, is Ghatakash and Mahakash. The space, the total space, and the pot space. There are different pots. Say in some pot, and the space is the same. And in some pots, there is some filth or dirt. And in different pots, there is a different amount of filth and dirt. Does that filth and dirt affect the space in the pot? It does not. It will affect the air. The filth and the smoke will affect the air, but not the space. And each pot has a different amount of filth and dirt there. So that is the reason why it's different for everybody. And once the pot is broken, the space is merging. Pot space is merging with the whole total space anyway. So, but then other question may come, but there is a pot there. What happens to the pot? But we have to take our vision away from the pot. We don't have to get stuck at the pot. We have to look at the space part, that we are part of the whole total space, whole total consciousness. We are that. Just the distinction is made by names and forms, that I am somebody and somebody somebody's, stuff like that. So that is that. So that is the answer to that question. And then the answer to what happens, why not Ishwar or God is samsari? Well, we have to look at it this from knowledge and ignorance point of view. So when I'm saying that I have problems with my work, I have problems with my shares in the stock market, all of that is true that we need to deal with at the empirical level. But at the absolute level, they don't belong to me. See, there may be statements which will be made in the absolute sense and the relative sense, and they may go opposite each other, and sometimes they will even contradict each other. And that's when the ignorance veils the knowledge. And it veils the knowledge in three ways. One is like somebody has no clue about what is reality. Total ignorance. That's called agrahanam. They're having no clue what is going on. And then the second thing is viparita or opposite. Total opposite of what is the reality. Like I'm body. That's opposite of what it is. And then most of us fall in the third category, which is sanshaya. Like we come here, we are Brahman for this 1 hour, and then we walk out of the room. Okay, my God, I have to go to the farmer's market, I have to go this, you know, to go that, blah, blah, blah. And that's when, as soon as we don our shoes, that happens. So our knowledge is vacillating between the two. So that's where most of us fall. So I think the whole idea that Gurudev is trying to tell us is to own this knowledge. And once the owning, the nishtha, the support, the word nishtha has been used, which is meant as, where do we find our support? We have to use this knowledge as our support and have devotion. Because just having a knowledge will not work. Somebody can be a speaker, somebody can memorize the verses and be a good speaker. But if the knowledge has not been owned and not found support in, we are going to shortchange ourselves. So in this verse, second verse, Bhagwan has very clearly stated, Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art, you are that. See, there are four Mahavakyas in Vedas. First is Prajnanam Brahman, or consciousness is Brahman. Second is Tat Tvam Asi, that you are. Then third is I am Atma Brahman. So the first two are telling us that truth is consciousness. And the last one is Aham Brahmasmi, I'm sorry. So the first two are telling us that the truth is consciousness, Brahman. And the last two are telling us that truth has to be realized wholly, not partly. So this is the second Mahavakya, which is also going to be discussed by Swami Ganganandani ji when she is going to come and talk the next week, week of 22nd, during the afternoon lectures, when she is going to take up the text of Vakya Vritti around 11 o'clock in the morning, I guess. So that text is going to deal with this Mahavakya statement of Tattvamasi, that you are. So that is implied meaning by Bhagwan in the second verse in Bhagavad Gita. It is not clearly stated anywhere as worldly mean, as world, Tattvamasi, but this is what is implied here. And once this is understood, the rest is, becomes very easy to understand. So I'll take questions. The reflected consciousness, the Kshetrajna, minus the BMI and the OET, that is a Kshetra. Yeah, I mean, also kind of going back and forth in Jiva, reflected consciousness. Jiva, see, at an individual level, which is the microcosm level, which is Veshti or microcosm level, this entity is the Jiva. And at the macrocosm level, the Veshti level, the totality level, that is Ishvara or God. So all it is, it as what level are we talking about these two entities? At some samashti level, at totality level, at the macrocosm level, it is Ishvara, God, as we know of God as. And God or Ishvara with Maya is this world, is what we see as this world. So Maya is also dependent on the absolute consciousness. And it is because of this Maya that we see all these names and the forms and the Leela, the play of God. And once that Maya, which is named as an illusion or mithya, is taken away, then only consciousness is there. And how? What do we mean by Maya, which is illusion or mithya? What is that? What do we mean by illusion? Illusion is like this Maya, is we see it, we feel it, we experience it. We have friends, we have family, we have relations, but it's actually not there. That is what is called mithya, illusion, which is Maya. So it is the play, and this is where this allegation is laid on Advait Vedantins. Okay, well, whatever it is, you always attribute it to Maya, because that's what it is. This is where Advait Vedanta differs from the other schools of philosophy by Mayik philosophy, is that everything is attributed to Maya. Other schools like Sankhya, which was heavily prevalent at this time, and so much of so that is followed up here in Gita also, but then differentiation is made as the two paths, the two are separate. Prakriti is separate, Purush is separate. Prakriti is pradhanam or main in Sankhya, and then Purush or spirit is there somewhere, and they are separate. So that's Sankhya philosophy. Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta brings them, says that they're the same, and Prakriti is not pradhanam. It is all but Maya, which is dependent on Purusha or the spirit or the consciousness. This is a huge difference between the two. There's some subtle difference, but huge difference. And then there are other schools also, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, and Yoga, Patanjali Yoga, so many other schools with their own philosophy. Well, we cannot say Brahman exists. I mean, existing would mean that there's something which is non-existing. See, it's a catch of words. We cannot say it exists. I mean, these things are, and these are meditation points. These are meditation points. See, when we sit down and meditate, a few days ago, there was a question asked up here, this meditation, and we talked about in one of the evening classes here, the meditation, like what meditation we do here, how is it different than the other meditations? This meditation, the way it is different than the others, and then we need to do the, we should do this meditation rather, is when we think of I am Prajnanam Brahman, Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, means it's not like there is I am Brahman and Brahman is somewhere. No, Brahman world self is me. I am the support of everything. And this is what we need to meditate on during our meditation. That I am Sarvagata, Sarvagateshu. I am all pervading. So when we close our eyes, we have to think we are subtle, like the space. I am nirlipta. I am not involved with anything. I am asang. I am unattached. I am nirakar. I have no form and shape. I am nirvikar. I cannot be modified. I am nitya buddha, nitya mukta, nitya shuddha. I am always free, eternal, and pure knowledge. This is Vedantic meditation. Other meditations, TM, they give you a mantra. You do the mantra, and then you quieten your thoughts. But then it doesn't take us to that reality. That I am Brahman. I am the support of this world. Then there are other meditations which are based on sounds and symbols and light. So they are there. Then the Ashtanga Yoga, meditation is also there, which is pranayama and all that, so which does help to quieten the mind and flow of thoughts and helps the concentrations. So we are doing that, that's good. But then from there we need to take off. We have to have a booster to get to there. And this does it. So that's how, that's where the difference is in meditation. That once we are dwelling on this, and ultimately the mind is also going to drop. And then the pot has broken. So space becomes space total. So actually there is no merger. They cannot merge. When we say merger means that there are two separate entities. How can there be two separate entities? There is no separate two entities. Space is space. So there is no merger. We are that. We just need to understand that. And that is what we are doing during our meditation. So eventually that will lead to the dropping of the mind also. So with our eyes open, we have to realize that this is nothing but five elements and I am that. So that's Bahirvikalp Samadhi. When we close our eyes, that's Antarvikalp Samadhi, that all of this is nothing but an illusion. And then a Nirvikalp Samadhi. That I am all, I am the support of the world. I am Brahman. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Krupyo Namaha. Harihi Om.